A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trinity, Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. You can have your safe calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. The Northern Territory Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation welcomes $378 million redress scheme. Money is a tool. Money helps. It doesn't take away the pain and the hurt, but look, it's a step in the right direction. Now we're going to catch up a yarn with the CEO of Healing Foundation, Fiona Cornford, online. My cousin Fiona, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well, thank you.
Thank you, darling, for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I was born on Yidinja country there, and I lived in on TI for a while, but my mob are Seedens, Drummonds, Raymond. Mm. My dad's from the UK and Germany.
Okay, beautiful. And look, talking about the Hatchewell Healing Foundation, as I mentioned, all the money in the world can't take away the hurt, the pain and suffering, but $378 million, look, a nice step towards in that healing. For the NT Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation.
Yeah, look, it's welcome because there are complex needs we know that Stolen Generation survivors have. We know the government have, in announcing the scheme, have taken their responsibility because they governed over these territories when the removals took place. And so it's a big step in the right direction, and we know that it's not, you could never get full compensation for what's happened, but
sure,
it's going to assist with some of those complex needs they have right now.
Well, exactly. And there's a statement here from the CEO, head of Northern Territory Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. Macy Austin. She states it's very emotional, very exciting. It's very, very long fight to reach this stage, but we welcome the money. But like you said, it's a nice tool we can use in regarding this process of healing. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we've been able to do is feed into the government's decision-making, all the strong evidence that I've talked on your program about a lot of times.
Yes.
And it's to let them know how important it is to have wraparound support too, so there's wellbeing support that goes with it, and there's an apology. There's mm-hmm. the opportunity to tell your story, be heard in the way that you want as an individual, or you can bring your family together and do it. And the Prime Minister or the Minister will apologise to you and your family.
Yes, and however it's done, like you said, it's up to the family or the individuals to do it on their terms, and it's great that the Governor arms open in regard to that process, yes?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, all the things we know supports effective healing and successful healing and ensuring our mob operate more from a place of strength and less from a place of distress. We're feeding that all in there too. So the Stolen Generations organisation, Annie Maisie's organisation, she's an Adams, by the way.
Okay, radio.
Yeah, so she, they've been walking alongside the survivors in that territory for
yes.
a very long time. As you say, they've been calling for this for a very long time. And so, you know, the responsibility taken by government, you know, we're grateful for it, but we know that how important it is for a scheme like this to do no more harm, though, and so we're grateful we're at the table to help with all of that.
Well, exactly. The so-called line drawn in the sand, and from here we move forward and we heal together. And like I said, money's the tool.
Yeah, and that's one of the most effective things we've found working alongside communities is we heal collectively.
Yes.
And so there's information about the scheme that we're going to take on collectively. We're going to feed advice and our responses to it up to the government as they lead this out. And we do that collectively. We're grateful to work alongside these organisations that have held held these long relationships with survivors to support as best they can.
Now, you've been the CEO of Healing Foundation. Healing Foundation, national organisation. So you're virtually communicating with our mob across the Big Island, Australia, in regard to this space. Yes.
Yeah, we do. So, you know, the scheme is just about the territory and where the Commonwealth governed. And there are other schemes in other places. We know WA and Queensland, you know, are thinking about their response. Mm. And so the idea is that there's more coordination in how we support an ageing Stolen Generations population and relieve them of that burden that they had no say in carrying.
Yes, yes. Now, in regards to funding being given to First Nation Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations, give us some idea how the money will be spent in regard to, I don't know, shrines or you know, cemeteries as such, or you know, employment of a building, healing space. Tell us about some of the stuff that can be done with the money.
The big money that was announced, the $387 million, predominantly for a payment to a survivor. It's $75,000, and then there's a healing and support services payment on top of that.
Yes,
takes it up to about $82,000, and then there's just some smaller amounts that will go to the process.
So, yes.
Like for instance, ensuring organisations support survivors with applications, yep. Application process. And you know, we're going to form an advisory, an expert advisory group too, to oversee the designing,
yes,
of the scheme.
Okay.
And
lovely.
Then the implementation of it, and so that's really important. We'll be able to ensure we avoid some of the pitfalls of other schemes.
Yes.
That have happened. And
But we're at the table, and we are navigating forward with this money at the table, the so-called plan of attack, and yep. What to do with the money and make the money work for the people. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it represents about a quarter of the total amount that was announced
sure.
last Thursday in the Closing the Gap statement. But all that, the rest of the money, it's about strengthening Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations, the peak bodies, the 51 of them who've been doing the heavy lifting for as
yes.
long as we have.
Yes.
To care for our mob, and making sure too that all the mainstream services and organisations, they change what they do so that it's evidence to action, that it's data driven, and that you know, they learn from us and how we've done things.
Exactly.
So the resources aren't wasted any longer. They're put to the best efforts so we can finally get somewhere with closing these gaps.
Exactly. And when you look at money, millions of dollars like that, it's like if you look at the treatment and the atrocity that's been put upon us, it's not that we asked for that. And this is just another way, step forward, where the government's doing right by the wrongness that was done by the government before, isn't it?
Yeah, look, that's right. And it's, you know, a long time coming and well overdue.
Yes.
We know that. But we also know that our survivors have been seen and they've been heard.
Yes.
And this hasn't always been the case.
Mm.
And so, you know, the investment, you know, we were set up after Kevin Rudd's apology, but we haven't had an increase in funding to our organisation since we were
yeah.
set up. And,
but there
the
you
demand
go.
Is
exactly.
huge.
Exactly. And the work you're doing is astronomical in regard to the support of Stolen Generations across this country. Look, very important yarn, and look, it's welcoming by the NT Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. Fantastic yarn with you, my cousin, and listen, all the best to your family there and your team there in Canberra. Stay safe, and when the borders open up, come up and see us up here at home, sister.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that. And talk about overdue, but yeah, and love to you and your family and the grannies particularly.
Yeah, darling.
And to all your listeners too, who lend their voices to this cause and speak up and speak out. Thank you.
Beautiful. Fiona, take care, Mike. You take care. All the best.
Thank you.
Bye,
you
darling.
Too. See ya.
A beautiful yarn there. That's Fiona Cornford, her name is, CEO of Healing Foundation. A big shout out to her beautiful mother and father as well, Auntie Della, Uncle Tim. Hope you're well there in Brisbane. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
In the morning, yeah. Feel the breeze and light in the ocean. I will never leave this place.
Oh, no.
This place I call my own.
My own, my own.
My sweet Gary Bay, sweet Gary Bay, sweet Gary Bay. Oh no, I will never, never run away. Come from. If you stop in this place, we become one. All my brothers and sisters, here we come one. If you wanna come raid, yeah, we listen. 4871, we be on a mission. And if you're not there, then you'll be missing. We be raging all night long, every day to the break of dawn. So come along and take the floor, cause we can rock it out to our favorite song.
Come on, come on, show me what you really
yeah,
got.
Like that.
Come on, come on, show me what you really got. 4871, show me what you really
yeah,
got.
Like that.
4871, show me what you really got. Come on, come on, show me what you really got. Come on, come on, show me what you really got. 4871, show me what you really got. 4871, show me what you really got.
Sweet Gary Bay.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, access to counselling still strong post-COVID. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Di Stowe, president of PACFA. PACFA is the Psychotherapy and Counselling Federation of Australian PACFA. That's a bit of a mouthful, but Dr. Di, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trevor, I'm really great this morning. I'm talking to you from Hobart in Tasmania, and it's just lovely to hear you. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you very much for coming on. Look, the world we live in, we're in lockdown here at the moment here in Cairns, COVID-19, there it is, and you know, blessed are the flexible. But with the virus and with the physical capacity, it has also affected people across the globe mentally, and coming from your space, very important that we have psychologists, physiotherapy, at the table, just help me in get that space and where you're working and what you're doing for all Australians.
Yeah, you're so right about that. And what's really exciting is that our members, our registered counsellors, our registered psychotherapists are available to see new clients within 7 days and to see emergency people within 24 hours, which is really excellent.
Yes.
And it's kind of almost exciting to know that there's a qualified professional group that can see people sooner than later to help sort out issues around mental health concerns. The pandemic's brought up a lot of anxiety for people,
yes.
A lot of grief, a lot of loss, stress, relationships, all of the stuff that we...
Well, occupation, bills, mortgage.
Yes,
yeah, the finance
violence.
Part of it. Domestic violence,
that's
yes.
That's right. And the big ones, they're all big, but the big ones being anxiety and depression. So it's really great for people to be able to access counsellors and psychotherapists early to talk through issues before they become too difficult, too tricky, needing more attention. Yeah,
and mental illness, one of the best medicine is talking about it, and that's where you guys come to the table.
Yes, talking therapies are really great. People can, in a safe environment, talk about what's going on for them, share their story, and have somebody objectively, helpfully listening, encouraging, helping to sort things out, helping them to feel better, giving ideas, tips, techniques, strategies, working through to help people move along. Yeah.
And what it is, people can't see the rainforest because the tree's in the way. You just help focus in on the rainforest, the beautiful rainforest, so to speak.
And something like that, yeah. Mm. Our psychologist colleagues who are working in the same mental health arena, their wait lists are really blown out. That's why I'm pitching for people to see counsellors and psychotherapists sooner rather than later to get assistance. Mm. One of the interesting things and exciting things from PACFA in recent times, we have a new group in our members called the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Healing Practices at the college, and that's just awesome, because
beautiful.
You appreciate where I'm coming from with that.
Mm.
We're the only group in Australia who are offering our counselling and psychotherapy people in terms of that particular group, the healing practices, which is exciting and helpful for people.
Exactly, and the cultural aspect at the table is uplifting, empowering, and it's we always say that we belongs to yarning. We love yarning,
it's
a very important tool, isn't it?
Yes. I could just say snap exactly what you've just said. Yarning is a really important tool, and that's what we get with counselling, with psychotherapy. But we also get it from practitioners who are very well trained, people with bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, PhDs, people who fulfil all the training standard requirements, ethical requirements, really good people doing really good work, but people who have been accredited and registered.
Mm. So you're saying to Australians out there to reach out to your doctor and talk about the situation, counsellors, and just help massage the thought process and what's going on.
Yes. This is a lovely chat, lovely way to describe it, just as you're playing it back to me. Yeah.
Mm, fantastic. With the PACFA, how many members are on board?
Oh, we have 3,500 members, and we're doing very well. We're a peak body for counselling and psychotherapy in the country.
Okay, fantastic. Look, a very important space, and especially we need you guys in the world that we live in at the moment. And to all the brothers and sisters out there, reach out. There's there's a good yarn to be had, is what I'm saying.
That's right. Well, also, you know, we're available to regional and remote, not just in cities. And then people have choice in terms of the mental health professional that they go to. So it's really good stuff, diverse.
Sure.
Yeah, really good.
Lovely, fantastic. Look, thank you for sharing, Dr. Dye. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe. And we'll yarn soon. Come and join us here in Cairns, Far North Queensland.
Great talking with you, Trevor. Very best.
Take care.
Good wishes. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
As Dr. Dye Stower, her name is, president of PACFA. PACFA is the Psychotherapy and Counselling Federation of Australia, PACFA. Like I said, a mouthful there, but a fantastic organisation. And just reaching out to all Australians out there that the yarning is the good medicine for your mind in regard to massage in the world that we live in regarding COVID-19. Look, have you say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. The daily number here, 1-800-422-416.
To the oldest living culture in the world, a living, breathing reflection of a nature wild, beautiful beyond measure, love every treasure, a mother, a lover like no other, brother, full of love and affection, direction, perfection, did not forget to mention that complexion, yes, led by the spirit, time to heal it, don't conceal it, open up your heart and let us steal it.
She's a dreamtime princess. She's a dreamtime princess. I'm just a witness to her greatness. She's a dreamtime princess.
Turning around, making a sound, stomping the ground, filling up my spirit, feeling proud. Appreciating, not hating, anticipating, I'm just saying. She be slaying as she walks with integrity, proud of her identity, that's just a reality. Yes, a mentality, never slipping or flipping or tripping, always ripping and gripping and sticking to the plan of this land above me long. It's time to stand strong. Come on!
She's a dreamtime princess. She's a dreamtime princess.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
There was a friend of mine on murder. The judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty. Gave him 16 years in hell. He said, I ain't spending my life here.
rocks on a chain gang. Breaking out, heading home. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. And I'm looking towards the sky. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. How I wish that I could fly. All in the name of liberty. People start to scream. Big man lying on the ground with a hole in his body where his life had been. But it was all in the name of liberty. All in the name of liberty. To set me free.
Yeah, right. They were racing. Freedom. He was chasing. Spirits dying. No use trying. But he made it out with a sheet around his neck.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say, call us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. You can either text the brother as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Headlines on the news. New South Wales record 452 new COVID-19 cases, one death overnight. Victoria records 24 local cases as Melbourne wakes to new lockdown rules. And that's where we're sitting at the moment regarding COVID-19. One new local COVID-19 case in Queensland. And, of course, Northern Territory, Darwin is shut down for lockdown 3 days. So that's where we're at the moment. So need to stay safe and abide by the rules. best medicine, we got you, Mob, and it can't be laxy-daisy with it. But have you saying, Jan, a strong big shout-out to all the First Nation radio stations across this deadly country of ours, Deadly Black Network, Voice for Our People, and all their yarns and their stories, and all their music is played through First Nation radio station, so Deadly Network. Big shout-out to NERS, National News Radio Service. Thank you for your team down there. On this daily program, National Talkback across the airways for your support there that way as well. Yarn Up Strong, your mob, give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
A shy black boy who came to the city to learn about life, and now his people lost their lives.
Every and I have more left over for the stars that twinkle in the blue. When I see them, my heart tells me that I love you more than all those little pearly shells. For every grain of sand upon the beach, I have a kiss for you. I have more left over for each star that twinkles in the blue. Pearly shells from the ocean, shining in the sun, covering the shore. When I see them, my heart tells me that I love you more than all those little pearly shells.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that chop-in number again is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM, Bumbo Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News National Radio Service. Yana, I've strung you up. We have 15 minutes left on the program. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. 350 and out, AFL rate. Eddie Betts calls it a day. Carlton champion Eddie Betts will bring his AFL career to an end after he reaches 350-game milestone this weekend. Deadly First Nation AFL player and one of the champion, one of the greats, and Carlton champion and AFL rate. Eddie Betts, like I said, he will bring his career to an end after he reaches 350-game milestone this weekend. The 34-year-old announced on Monday he will be hanging up the boots after a storied 17 years at the top level. And Carlton held discussions with the veteran forward over the last few weeks and ultimately decided it would not offer him a new contract beyond the 2021 season. Betts, will go down as one of the greatest small forwards in the game's history, will become the 90th player in VFL and AFL history to make a 350 appearance. And the three-time All-Australian has provided fans across the country many magical moments of brilliance with his innate ability to kick spectacular goals from any angle on the field. Betts was drafted by the Blues back in 2004 and after 184 games ventured across to Adelaide at the end of 2013, where he then became the Crows' leading goal kicker from 2014 to 2017. Betts kicked the AFL's goal of the year on four separate occasions, 2006, 2015, 2016 and 2019. So congratulations there, brother man, and look, enjoy your retirement, and offered the game so much and also inspired a lot of young brothers and sisters coming through. Have you say, Yana Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
This little tune came into my head. Was a little tune about all you bama, just dancing and having some fun.
And it goes something like,
hey brother, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. Hey sister, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now.
Yeah, you followed R2 Deadly. That's the Deadly Brothers and Sisters, Black Image. Big shout out to your Hopewell mob. Hope you're well. This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, your host for your Deadly program, National Talk Black, and live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bomber Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. I'm going to catch up with Yano, Associate Professor Jacobus Gerber. Cannabis use rises and metaphine falls during lockdown. On the line, Professor, how are you? Good morning.
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you
for having me on your program.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a space that we need to talk about. Cannabis use rises, but methamphetamine falls. So tell us about this ugly space we're living in.
Look, we conducted this study last year as COVID hit, and we had some prior data as well. And the whole purpose of the project was to determine whether there is behavior changes in the population demonstrated by drug use. And our observations found that methamphetamine fell once the COVID pandemic and social restrictions were introduced, whereas cannabis seemed to increase. And, you know, we reported that in a paper, and that's the one that you mentioned the title of a moment ago.
Yeah, sure. So if you look at it, COVID-19 has really turned our world upside down, and desperate people go to desperate things, do desperate things, and so sad. But drugs are at our fingertips, and people are using it to counteract COVID-19. Yeah.
Look, that is certainly the case. At the same time, the pleasing side of it is, you know, probably the most harmful substance in Australia that, in terms of substance abuse, is methamphetamine, and that one actually dropped. But it's probably not because of people's behaviour. It's most likely just due to restrictions and inability to access it.
Sure. Okay.
So other compounds, you know, like alcohol, did go up, unfortunately, as soon as the restrictions were lifted again.
Yep.
And cannabis, of course, also went up. So certainly, as you say, you know, people try and find a way to escape from these restrictions, and just job losses and so on. And it's a coping mechanism, unfortunately.
So with this research, Professor, and the findings as such, does it help us, like, into the future when, you know, COVID-19, if not a new disease, comes along, how we operate as human beings and how we respond to so-called pandemics?
Yeah, look, I'd like to think the research contributes towards understanding behaviour.
Yep.
Look, our research was measuring substances, and I think one has to be careful not to, you know, overreach with what we achieved. But
sure.
I think it certainly demonstrates that a vulnerable society will try and find escape in substances, potentially. And then also, one other thing it tells you is when there are these restrictions, that perhaps drug availability becomes a limitation, and that also tells us about where some of these drugs come from. And particularly in the case of methamphetamine, you know, there's all indications that it comes from outside of Australia mainly.
Yes.
And the work kind of confirmed that, whereas when it comes to cannabis, which is mainly produced locally, people could still access it, and therefore they use that substance.
I suppose we can use the phrase, we're all in this together, in regard to COVID-19 and how this has affected people. I feel as though there could be a lot more communication in regard to psychologists at the table in regard to helping people mental capacity with COVID-19, yes?
I think absolutely, and that's where we would like this research to lead to inform agencies that, look, this is where support is needed.
Yes.
So absolutely, you are spot on.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's great that this research has been done so we can find out where we are sitting and how we respond or react to this situation. And it's good information. Thank you for sharing. And with this information, what do you do with it now, Professor? Do you take it to hierarchies, our politicians, or what do we do with the information?
We report our information to different agencies. On the one hand, there's the health agencies.
Yes.
So we've got an open line of communication with our own state. And then on the national level, also with the Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission that funded this particular research project. So we provided this in a report, which is available to the public to download as well off their website.
Okay.
And they then, you know, reconcile this with their own information sources and so on to try and understand where drugs come from, which are the vulnerable communities, and, you know, which are the particular drugs that need to be looked at, because different parts of the country have different preferences for substance abuse.
Sure.
And therefore, yes, certainly government agencies and us work together with us. We don't typically have channels to communicate with politicians. That's for the individual, you know, government agencies to deal with internally, and they've got their own mechanisms for achieving that.
Sure. Okay. Fantastic.
We're purely on the science side of it.
Science side of it. Okay. But the information's there. Fantastic, Professor Aldebisi. Thank you very much for sharing. Take care, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you very much for having me on your show. Appreciate that. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye bye. That's Professor, Associate Professor Cobus Gerber, and talking about cannabis uses rises and methamphetamine falls during lockdown. So the research done in regarding how people are responding to COVID-19 in the mental capacity, and what work needs to be done, where the drugs are coming for. And look, drugs is not the answer. Like I said, a stroll in a park, fishing, jog, work out in the gym, do what you need to do. But stay away from drugs. And I come with doctorate advice, because brother, don't touch drugs. Never had 55 years on planet Earth. All good here. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Been stumbling all by myself in life, telling the streetlights that I'm doing fine. Those empty bottles laying by my bed tell me I'm getting pretty good at this. Lately whiskey's going down faster than it used to do. So give me one more round. Last thing she said spins like a carousel inside my head. The hangover, it only makes it worse. Tells me that I'm not really over her. Lately whiskey's going down faster than it used to do. So give me one more round.
Drinking over you, the Busby Maru, the Great Divide from that deadly album. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, going to catch up with someone on the line. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, yeah, brother. Yeah, brother, I'm loving the voice. But last night I was surfing and I was going back and forth to ABC Four Corners. 60 years, brother, and I said, it's good investigative journalism. My favorite was Liz Jackson.
Yes.
And they're a moral compass and naturally teaches the moral center for Australia, I reckon. And brother, I'd like to say a big shout out to Selwyn Cobber and all the Sheerbeg mob, dear brother. Thank you, brother.
No, thank you very much, brother. Beautiful. And that's the other tool that you can, thing that you can use this tool for, National Talkback. A big shout out to your mob across the country. Fantastic voice for our people. So, yeah, do utilise it. But in regard to our yarns today, you have to, we're coming to a close here, so you have to continue the yarn or start the yarn tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company, your mob. As always, too deadly, and we want you to keep safe. And we are living in a pandemic, abide by the rules and look after their young ones, their pickaninnies, and of course, their elders as well, and protect our community. Otherwise, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We've got news coming up here very soon on NIRS. We'll have Sister Christine Nanu taking up to the news. My island home. Do enjoy.